Hey out there, my name is Andrew Simmons again. I'm with the Communications Law and Policy Society. I'm here at the 2010 Symposium, Law Chasing Technology. I'm here with my guest after understanding your electronic footprint, identification management in new media, if you'd like to introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Courtney Barclay. I'm an assistant professor of communications at the Newhouse School.
And we were so happy to have you. For those of you that weren't able to be here at the symposium, it was lively, it was a lot of fun, a lot of interesting, contrasting viewpoints. I'm interested, Professor, in how you thought the panel went.
I thought it was great. It was really nice to hear different perspectives, particularly some of the more science and technology-oriented viewpoints. Mm-hmm. That were really interesting.
Yeah. So what did you find particularly compelling that went on today?
I was really interested in Professor Milwaukee's discussion of kind of identity authentication and the idea, you know, how can we really make that work across boundaries, geographical and otherwise. That gave me new food for thought.
Yeah. You bring up a good point, and what came up in the panel a lot was the artificial or organic nature of geographic boundaries as they apply to an online presence. And I was wondering if we might get your thoughts on, at least for our listeners, what the difference is between internet browsing in terms of privacy in the States versus Europe versus other places.
Well, certainly the European community particularly has some very strong privacy regulations, and particularly about notification and consent. So when you are browsing in Europe on the internet and information is being collected about you, there's no doubt information is collected no matter where you're browsing. But the key in Europe is that there are laws that require those companies that are collecting information to notify consumers in an effective way, give them reach their consent in some way. And then I think the most key aspect of the European laws is that then you have, as a consumer, the right to access what information has been collected about you, what information is being used to create this digital identity of who you are, what preferences you have, what you might buy in the future, right, and challenge any information that you think is inaccurate.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the one thing that pops to my mind when we talk about online presence and privacy, at least in this country, is the degree to which the average internet consumer or average internet user is actually concerned with it. I'd say it's probably a fair statement to say a lot of people are using the internet without being particularly aware of the ramifications of what they're doing online, especially in terms of behavioral targeting and advertising, things of that nature. So I was wondering the degree to which you feel it's important to kind of have this conversation publicly so to get people talking about something that's important, right?
Yes. I mean, I think you're right. Most people don't know this is going on.
Right.
People probably noticed that the advertisements that they started receiving seemed a little bit more relevant to them, mm-hmm, and maybe they've wondered why. But I think for the most part, they don't understand where those advertisements come from or why they're being served to them. And so having this conversation, making people aware of that so that they can make an active choice as to whether they agree with that practice or not is an important element.
Yeah. And so what exactly is happening? How are these consumers being served particular advertisements?
So there are these companies that run, they're called advertising networks. And they make deals with retailers and other types of websites online, hundreds and hundreds of retailers online, to get information from the users of those sites. So, for example, when you go to the NewYorkTimes.com, mm-hmm, that ad network has a relationship with NewYorkTimes.com to collect information on you. What kind of stories are you reading? What are you clicking on? What's your behavior on NewYorkTimes.com? That same advertising network also has a relationship with BestBuy.com, and they're collecting the same type of information, and then eventually they put all of that together and compile a profile on your unique identity as a consumer. That same advertising network also has publication contracts. So when the New York Times renders its page, it actually renders it to the consumers with little blank spaces. And it happens so quickly that we don't see that. The ad networks are responsible for filling in those blanks with advertisements that are relevant to that person based on all of that research and data collection that they've done over the past weeks, months, sometimes years.
So in terms of going forward, what would you say are the most important action items for the average internet consumer to be aware of and to possibly engage in the future?
I think the Federal Trade Commission's workshops, they have an upcoming workshop in March on this issue particularly. That workshop's going to focus on health and medical information.
Sure.
So I think being aware of those kinds of conversations, and also one of the things that was mentioned in the panel is this new independent movement to put little logos on internet advertisements. It's the little, it's called a Power Eye.
Uh-huh.
And so just recognize that online, click on it, and read more information, because there are some really great tools out there for users to control already what's going on, what data is collected about them, how ads are served to them. They just have to know where to access it. And so hopefully this little Power Eye will help.
And just for our listeners quickly, if you know of any particular sites or resources that they could go to, perhaps as a starting point.
Sure. The Network Advertising Initiative, NAI, has an opt-out tool. And the NAI is an association of a lot of different network advertising networks. About 90% of network advertising is associated with the NAI. And they page on their site that is active service the user opt-out tool. So you can actually click through all of the different ad networks and say, no, I don't want you to collect data about me. There is some concern about this because it's also based on tracking technology. So it's careful. I mean, read the directions carefully. But it's out there, and it's good for you to use.
Sure. Well, thank you. It's been such a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you for having me.
And we hope to see you back next year.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Bye.